Welcome everybody to the R&B podcast. You know it's lit and it's love lighting our path. Be free, be Latrice, can we do it? Holding that talk, cause you know we getting to it. Powered by the king, so our love is his magic. Speaking that truth, and you know you gotta grab it. The love is authentic, so you know you gotta have it. Classic R&B, you now rocking with the badges.
Welcome to the Classic R&B podcast. I am your host, Miss Brittany Latrice Badgett.
And I'm Robbie Free Badgett.
And we want to welcome you to life behind the Badgett scenes. Join us as we dive a little bit deeper into the life of newlyweds. We'll be having some hard conversations.
Maybe even some friendly debates.
But no matter what, it's all in good taste. So come on in, take a seat, and turn up your new fave genre.
That's right.
It's classic R&B.
ALB.
What up, B?
I think I got a story to tell.
Well, I like to hear it. Go ahead and tell it then.
So, it's been a rough week so far. And the reason why is because on Sunday, we learned about the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the others that were on the airplane helicopter. And I don't know why it hit me so hard, because I feel like I've lived through obviously many celebrity deaths. The last one that I actually can remember crying over was Aaliyah a long time ago. That was like in the 90s, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Or is it 2000s?
You was like 7 at the time.
No, I was older. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was...
You was like 7.
Was I? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Okay. But I didn't expect it. I didn't expect for it to hit me that hard. And so, you know, I was just kind of thinking about just him and his legacy and who he was. And, you know, for me being a native Californian, you know, the Lakers was the thing. That was our favorite basketball team. That was kind of, I would even go so far as to say, like, that was a bonding experience for my family and I. We would sit in front of the TV and yell at it, scream at it, and pretend like they could hear us when they couldn't. But it was just our thing. And so for me, being younger than you, Kobe Bryant was more than just a celebrity. Like, that was, like, he is nostalgic for us. Like, he was a part of our childhood. He, you know, he was a very integral part of just kind of our culture, as children growing up in the 90s. And so hearing about him leaving, and not even, you know, hearing about him leaving, but then hearing about him leaving in the tragic way that he did so unexpectedly. Right. It was just really hard. And even now, like, I'm trying not to get choked up talking about it, because it just hits in a different type of way.
What was your first Kobe memory as a kid?
I don't remember.
Like, when did you
I remember like getting my Kobe jersey, though. We had went to the Staples Center store. I had the whole outfit. I had the Kobe jersey, of course. Then I had the, like, breakout. Were they breakout or were they pullover pants? I had some, like, Laker pants, some purple and gold pants, and then we had got some matching Chucks. So I had some purple and gold Chucks, full fit. And I just thought that fit was the coolest thing ever. Still have the pants somewhere. You know, I put my Kobe jersey on.
You think you can still fit the pants?
Probably not. I can fit the jersey though, you know.
You thought so?
Yeah, it's you know, it's a little bit smaller.
It can fit,
you know,
your daughter.
But I can fit it, and I'm going to wear it, especially now. I cherish that jersey more than ever. But, yeah, it's been sad. And just even seeing, like, all of the tributes that have been going out, this one, it definitely hit a lot of people really hard. And it says a lot. It says a lot. So, you know, this week's episode, I think we want to just focus on and talk about legacy. What it means to create a legacy, what it means to leave a legacy. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed about KB was, and I posted this on my social media page yesterday, that you know you fulfilled your purpose here in the world when your absence leaves a hole in the earth.
Just an FYI, by the time people hear this, it will not be January.
True. So we're recording this in real time. So as of now, it's yes. Tuesday, and Kobe Bryant passed, you know, 2 days ago on Sunday. You guys won't hear this episode for a little while. So the sting of it probably will have worn a little bit. But
possibly.
Maybe. You know, unfortunately in our society, you know, people hold on to things but for a moment, and then, you know, they move on with life and whatever it was is often just kind of brushed under the rug. For us, of course, this is not something that his family or close friends are going to, you know, brush under the rug or forget about or move on from for a very, very, very long time. But I hope that just kind of the presence of just what we feel, because, you know, one thing I was telling my husband was like, this hit the world, you know, like, and you can feel the presence of it. You can feel the weight of it, the heaviness of it. Like, you can see it every single time you get on social media, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, like everything, every outlet is inundated with KB, you know, with what he's done, who he was. And it's just a lot. And so I just, you know, we just decided that today we would just kind of dedicate this episode to really just talking about
legacy,
how you live.
I think what resonated with me is that he got drafted in 1996. And I remember I was in high school at the time because I graduated in 1998. And he got drafted while... See, why are you counting?
I was counting how old I was. I was 8 years old.
You always
old.
Throw your little pew, pew.
No.
You didn't have to say that you was eight right now. Like, can you just like let that breathe, bro?
I was 8 years old. This is what I mean, though. Like, he was a part of my childhood. I was 8 years old when he first started playing ball.
16 in high school.
Like, so when I literally say, like, I grew up on him, like, from a child. Now I'm 32, and you know what I mean? Like, that was a long time ago. He played for 20 years. Yeah, we know you're old. So you were almost grown.
And you were eight.
Oh, well.
No, but I think, why did sweat just trickle down my back?
Because you sound very, I'm not going to say the word on air, because... It's going to resonate with people and it's not going to be good.
But. Okay, great. No, but listening to what you're saying, I think about, like, you say how he impacted your childhood. Well, me at the time as a teenager, he got drafted. He was the first person to get drafted out of high school into the NBA. And at the time, like, that changed the narrative of how we were thinking about ourselves as young black men. Because we saw, like, yo, you come straight out of high school and do this? And
by his second season, he was dominating.
Right. Well, he wasn't dominating like that because Jordan was still in the league at the time.
Yeah, but he was, I mean, for his team. Yes, I do. But for his team, he was making a significant mark on his team in his second season, fresh out of high school.
Yeah. Do you know Kobe was in the dunking contest? Like, that was one of the climactic moments of his young years. I think he was, like, 17. Imagine that. 17, 18 years old and you're playing in this league. So if you look at that, like, you look at the timeline, you come on the scenes because he was 41. 41.
When he passed,
41 years old. So I'm 39. So it hit me like, oh, like, yo, like, I'm about to turn 40. And here you are. You see
turning
some
40.
You know what?
Months.
Are you done?
Turning 40.
Are you done?
Sorry.
You like OGs, so whatever.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways.
But as I was saying, it's like, for me, when you talk about legacy, I immediately thought about you guys. I thought about, I'm trying to get choked up myself.
Yeah, I know. It's hard.
But
like, this was a rough one.
But I don't know. It's interesting because, like I said, you see this dude who from a teenager grow up in the eyes of so many, you as a little girl, me as a teenager, seeing what you think in your mind is impossible, now it becomes possible. But then as his later years, like, what is that?
He only was 41.
You know what I'm saying? Like, his later years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead.
It hit me. And truth be told, like, I've tried to not consume it because you've been an emotional wreck.
Like, today. You've been a wreck. I've cried every single day.
What is wrong with this girl?
Because you can't escape it.
But why do you think that is, though?
I feel like that's one of the...
Because it's a real... It feels intimate, almost.
Yeah, and one of the downsides of social media is it is a powerful tool when things are great. But when trauma hits, social media is re-traumatizing.
Oh my gosh. Can you talk about that, clinician?
You know, something like something bad happens, something traumatic happens, and then every single time you turn on your phone, you see it over and over and over again. And so you keep feeling it over and over and over again. Like, it doesn't numb. It's not numbing us. It's just hurting us every single time we look at it. And so, you know, you go from reading articles to watching tribute videos listening to people tell stories about him. And then, you know, just sitting even thinking about what his wife is feeling.
Forget about it.
How is she even able to be strong enough for the 7-month-old baby that she is now?
They
have a 7-month-old. Capri was born in June 2019.
Take me now.
So they have a 7-month-old, you know, like, she has 3 remaining daughters that she still has to be present for after losing the love of her life for 20 years and one of her children.
They were married for 20 years?
They were married for 20 years. They met when she was 18. Mm. He was 19. So this is, I mean, she grew up with this man in a very intimate way. We say we grew up with him.
She grew
up with this man. You know what I mean? So even just even trying to even process the amount of grief, it's just like you live it over and over and over again. You can't do anything right now without hearing his name or seeing his face, driving on the highway again, seeing billboards of
him, literally
seeing billboards, a legend across it. It's like, you can't escape it. And so it just, you just keep getting re-traumatized. The only way, honestly, to escape it is to disconnect completely. You have to turn off your phone or not get on social media. You honestly have to not watch any type of news outlet, not listen to the radio. Like, you will literally have to disconnect completely from the world in order to find any space of relief from just what the world is feeling.
Right. No, you know? I think, what I hope that people get out of this are the realities of the importance of family, right? The importance of what we can build with the time that we have. And, you know, you look at the life of Jesus, right? He was only here in ministry form for about 3 years. And we're still talking about him today. You know, his ministry was 3 years long, but has lasted for centuries. And so, even him dying at 33 years old, I was just like, yo, what am I doing? Am I hitting my mark? Am I making an impact? Am I kissing my wife in the morning?
No. Yes, you do.
Yeah, say sorry.
But you don't tell me you love me every day.
But I kiss you. Kissing you doesn't mean I love you.
No.
Yes, it does.
Do you know how many hood rats out here getting kissed every day?
First of all, I've never been kissed by a hood rat, you know, unless we go early days. I'm just saying.
There are some people out here that are getting
kissed. So kissing you means nothing to you?
I didn't say it didn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean I love you?
I don't know that it necessarily means you love me that because you kiss me.
Your whole love language is affection.
I know, but I would still prefer to hear the words I love you over just kissing me and thinking that is sending the message that you love me. I know that you love me, but I think
that's
it's
confusing.
Important. No,
one of your love languages is affection.
It is affection. And I'm not saying that.
Oh, physical touch. Yeah.
I'm not saying that it doesn't send a message that you love me, but I am saying that I would still prefer to hear it every day.
Prefer? What do you mean prefer, though? Like,
well, not necessarily prefer. In addition to.
What if I send you like a voicemail that says I love you?
That's fine. I just think it's important because I feel like, you know, there are a lot of subtle ways that we can communicate how we feel
these
to people.
Three words.
Thank you. There are a lot of subtle ways that we can communicate to people how we feel, but I do think it's very important that we are direct in how we feel about people because the reality is, like,
you know what
you
says
can,
you love me?
When I clean up something.
Why you gotta say it so unlovingly?
Because that's your love language. Acts of service is your love language.
That's
so.
Not the only act of service.
So what?
Yeah.
Stop it. Oh,
that's part of my act of service.
Anyways.
How you gonna... No. Pause. You can't make this whole summarization of the depth of love and what words mean.
That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about... Right, listen. I'm just making a small segue.
I got that.
You got it?
Got it.
Okay, good.
Moving
Proceed.
On. People, I feel like, need to hear because we don't say it enough. And I think one of the facets of this story that is just very sobering is the fact that you genuinely like we get up every morning as if we are expected to come home at night.
Oh, that's deep.
Like we go outside, we go to work as if like coming home is an absolute guarantee. And you know what I mean? Like we just,
I thought about that while driving Monday.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's like you get up and you go as if you're guaranteed to come home at night, and you're not. Like, you never know when you know, when you're going to get up. He didn't know that morning he was about to, you know what I mean? Like, he got up, went to church, spent time with his daughter, and you know what I mean? Like, that was never anything that crossed his mind. And I feel like a lot of times there are a lot of regrets when people pass away, because we tend to feel like, well, we didn't say enough while they were here. We didn't do enough while we were here. One of the things that, you know, Shaq was saying about the situation was how he felt like, you know, well, one part of this was, I guess he just lost his sister to cancer in October. So he was like, I was just getting over her death, and then this hit me. And he's feeling like he's having these feelings of, did I do enough? I wish I would have done more. Like, I wish we would have talked on the phone more. He was like, I'm not a phone person like that, talking on the phone. But now in hindsight, like, he wishes he would have just talked to him on the phone a little bit more. And just those thoughts of, you know what I mean? Like, how can I position myself today in a way that, God forbid, something were to happen to my husband, I wouldn't be sitting here thinking, like, what else could I have done? You know, did he know that I loved him? You know what I mean? Is that a question? Or, you know, did I do everything that I could while he was still on this earth to show him how much he meant to me? And I think that's just a very real reality that, you know, I personally want to get better at calling my mom. You know what I mean? Just even when I don't really have anything to say, it's not about the conversation. It's just about letting her know how much she means to me, because she's not always going to be here. And we don't really think about that. We try not to think about that, but it's the reality of the life that we live, you know? Mm-hmm. You're here today, and unfortunately you're gone tomorrow, and we have to learn how to pick up the pieces of life. And so I would love to hear every single day that you love me. Not that I don't know it, not that any, like, we generally, we know people love us, but I think it's just something about hearing those words, because, you know, God forbid you were to go home or go to work and didn't come home, or I went to work and didn't come home, and you're like, when was the last time I told her I loved her? You know, did she, you know what I mean? Like, those are just not, it's just one less thing to think about. Yeah. If something were to
You're
happen.
Such a marshmallow.
I am. So ridiculous.
Nah, but I think I love it though. Like, you have a way of really connecting with the heart of the matter in situations, which me, Mr. You know, I'm Mr.
Logical, straight to the point.
Can I
analytical.
Can I finish my sentence? Like, but I can appreciate what you have, you know, the gift that you are. I do think, for me, like, in my mind and in my logic mind, I'm like, yeah, she knows I love her, and you know, I did X, Y, and Z, you know, and that's really it. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, well, no, your wife still needs to hear it. She desires to hear it. And it doesn't take a lot to do that. It doesn't take anything. And I think sometimes we miss the simple things. And here's what I want. I really, literally, I want.
Sorry, it got hot in here.
Do you want to tell them what just happened?
No,
okay,
keep
great.
Talking.
I want my voice, the things that I create, to echo even when I'm gone.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
what legacy is.
Right.
Legacy outlives,
like,
you.
Like, I don't want you, our children, to feel like, well, my dad never told me he loved me. I know he did it, but he never said it.
Like, even our children. Yeah. Our children are like you. They're not emotional beings like
don't
that.
Don't say that. They process and communicate emotions
I'm just saying,
different
they
from
are not,
Brittany.
They are not, but they are not like super affectionate.
No,
they don't.
Not.
They don't need.
But they're
hugs
loving kids, though.
They are loving kids, but they don't need hugs and kisses all of the time. They could really do without it most of the time. You know what I mean? And so I think even like,
I don't know, that little girl's becoming more and more.
Yeah,
she's clingy,
more touchy,
affectionate.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
But generally speaking, like, that's just not the type of people that they are. Love language. And so a lot of times you can assume that because somebody is not a super affectionate person that they don't need affection.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I don't need to tell them I love them. They just know because I can't say she's not. But they don't generally like walk up and say, I love you. You know what I mean? Now, if I say it to them,
but if you notice,
more often than not, they'll say it back.
Look at the difference, though, how they've evolved by the intentional acts of love that you have displayed. Like, you can see the difference over 6 months time period of how they're like, they're more open, they're more comfortable, they're more affectionate. And
yeah, I've
heard her say, I love you.
No, she says it. She says it. That's why she doesn't. It's not that
she didn't
never
used to say that,
it.
Though.
She didn't. And like, she has moments. She has moments. Like, a lot of times I'll say, I love you. And she's like, I know. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there are times when I'll say it and I'll get it back, or times where she'll say it, you know, first. And so it slips out. So I know that it's there, but because they're not like, they're like their father, who is just not super, like, he could do without a whole lot of affection. That's just not his love language.
What's
you know?
Do if the next one's like me?
They're not.
You can't control that.
Yeah, I'm praying against it already. I've already started a prayer
Why
list.
You gotta pray against
I've already started a prayer list for my unborn children.
Don't let it be another girl.
I just like want them to be super affectionate so I can just love on them. And
so what do you want your legacy to look like?
Man, I am aiming to build something where when I leave here, people will remember me. Like, if I could say, like, what do I want people to remember me by when I die?
Your cute face.
They're going to remember that. My sense of fashion. They're going to remember that. But more importantly, I want people to remember that Brittany was an encourager who would go out of her way to make everyone else feel better. Because a lot of the time when I encourage other people, I am probably in a pit myself.
That's and interesting. A lot I did of times, not know that. I did not know that.
A lot of times people don't see it, you know, and you've commented on it before. Like, I really admire your transparency, like the way that you're able to, because I can throw my pain aside and push other people up and then deal with my pain later. And I want people to remember me as someone who wanted people to be healthy, wanted people to be whole, and really dedicated my life to saving people.
Saving from what?
Themselves mainly. You know, in my current profession, I work in mental health, and so really helping people analyze their pain and figure out ways to live past trauma. And that's really just kind of where I've devoted my life's work, and wanting people to really know who they are in Christ, know how valuable they are, know that they're special, know that they're important. Like, I want people to remember me as someone who spent her life uplifting and protecting the hearts and minds of the people around her. I want to be known as someone who is loving.
What do you want your children to remember you by?
As someone who was loving, someone who was present. I want my children to, I don't want my children to like think back on their childhood and not have a whole lot of memories of me there. Like, I want them, that's when they deep. Think about me, they have a lot of things to pull from because I was present in their lives. I was at their karate matches or their football games. I was dressing them for their dances. You know, I was taking them to hotels for their birthdays. Like, I want them to be able to have a plethora of memories to pull from to remember me by. I want them to remember the times that we turned off all the lights in the house and played hide and seek. And, you know, I want them to have a toolbox of fun memories that they can remember me by. Like, I don't want them to have to pull and be like, dang, when was she there? You know what I mean? Like, that's the best thing that I feel like as a parent I can give my kids is my presence. Even when, you know, we don't always get along, like, there'll never be a time where my children won't say I wasn't there.
That's powerful, I think, because if you're going to build a legacy, it can only be built through consistency. Like, it has to be work that you put into it. It has to be some sweat. It has to be some pain. It has to be some sacrifice. You look at somebody like Oprah, who doesn't have children, but for decades to come, people can see the remnants of Oprah's legacy and everything that she's done, everything that she stood for. And I'm not saying as though she's gone,
yeah,
right? But you can see the path that she has been trailblazing. And so even when we look at, you know, something as simple as this podcast, right? I want these joints to be, to live on the internet forever. You know, where you can archive stuff and like, oh man, I heard, like, that's what I want to do, to yeah, leave footprints.
And those are things too that your children will always have, you yeah, know, when they miss your voice because they can't talk to you because you're not here anymore.
I'm
they can just
need some little voice messages. Remember
we
remember,
have some
remember
yeah,
the beginning when I sent you that little audio.
You did.
Letter. What did that do for you? How did you feel when I did that?
It was sweet because it was something that you had to take time to create. And so it showed that, you know, you put
I'd like to get some more of your artistic
effort.
Stuff.
First of all, this isn't about
way,
me.
You know
another
mean?
Thing that I did want to say, though,
I
is like as
so
a
much for my legacy
bonus thing. Mom, I think it's important for me to, like, I want them when they're older because, you know, they're not going to necessarily appreciate it all the way now. But when they're older, I do want them to be able to say, like, she came in and she loved us like her own.
I definitely see that happening.
She
you
took care
now.
Of us. She was there for us. You know what I mean? Like, it was yeah, hard at first because, you know, it was a new experience. But I don't ever want them to feel like I just married their father and they were just on the side. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I want them to be able to look back and say, no, she took us in. She loved us like how I talk about my father, you know,
yeah,
he's been present since I was three. And you know what I mean? Like, for all intent and purposes, he's my father. And I want
yeah,
them to have that same regard for me where it was like, nah, she didn't just treat us as stepchildren.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? She
right,
treated us like she was ours and like we were hers. And I want them to have that type of memory where they honestly feel like they have two moms and not a mom and a stepmom.
I like that. I like some stuff you're saying. You want to go get pregnant right now?
Yeah.
We should. I
Come
think
on.
That's a good idea.
All right, guys. So it's been a fun time talking to you. I'm just playing.
But that shifts us into our first segment of the day. Can we talk? Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
Can we talk for a minute?
Can we talk for a minute? So you got a question?
What was that?
That was
super
ugly.
That was
me singing.
All right, y'all. So this is a segment of our show where we are going to feature listener questions. And so today's question is, can you talk about preparation? Can you talk about the struggles one may face along the way of establishing the foundation needed to build upon or to actually build a legacy? Mm. So Rob, what does that look like? So when we talk about building a legacy, when we
yeah,
talk about, you know, establishing something that's going to outlive you, how do people actually do that? What does the preparation look like?
You know what? I think one of the first things you have to do is debunk the myth of balance. Balance does not exist, right? Because mm-hmm, because balance means it's an equal, there's an equal on both sides, but that's not reality. You look at something is going to be sacrificed in certain moments. Like if we say, okay, babe, I want to, you know, get in a certain level of shape, right? You're going to have to, like, let's say you now want to take a class three times out of the week. You're not going to be home three times out of the week. You're going to be at the gym. So that time at home, that's not a balance. I think you just have to know that there's seasons, moments where you could do certain things and sometimes that you can't do certain things. But all of it is going to take a level of work that you're going to have to put in. And some people, they're not going to agree with it. They're not going to rock with it. And it's okay. I think when you're talking about the things that you're going to need to, you know, lay a foundation, it's going to be a lot of sweat that you're going to have to break. And sometimes mm-hmm, you're going to have to shorten up that circle. You're going to have to say no to a lot of things. And delayed gratification is yeah, imperative. Like we, me and you, we go on these fat fests, right? There's seasons when we just like, we eat because it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's not as though we're ignorant. You know just as well as I know how to, if we want to drop some weight fast, we hit it. But it's you know what to eat, what to cook.
Super disciplined.
You know what to, boom, boom, boom. We're good at small dosages. It's like,
yeah, it's just those long-term things.
Right. It's like, yo, if I got a 60-day
bust.
Like, you went into full snatch mode before the wedding.
Oh, I did. I was.
You was like, man, hot dog, honeymoon night. I was like, come on, Coke bottle. You know what I mean?
And then gained it all.
Was it all? Is it all?
Yeah, I gained it all. Right.
From the time frame of when you started?
Since our wedding. I kept it all for a while. It was the holiday season that really, like, took me under.
Right. Like, but the thing is like, you know, I locked in. When you get on like a grizzly, it's like boom, she's dead. You got your smoothies, your boom, boom, boom. Yeah. You're working out like every day because you was living with the Connollys at the time.
Yep, we had our in-home gym with Shanti.
Right. So it's just like, yo, this is the sacrifice I need to make. Hard work, and you laid the groundwork and you saw the results.
Absolutely. I think when we talk about building a legacy or preparing to build a legacy, I think the very first thing that you have to do is identify your passion. You have to identify your purpose. You have to know what you were created for, because it doesn't, like, you're never going to be able to build a legacy on something that you don't have a passion to do. Why? Because when we're talking about putting your blood, sweat, and tears into something, nobody wants to do something forever that they don't like to do.
That's a good word right there,
sister. And for a lot of people, like, you know, we just find ourselves working these jobs just to keep a roof over our head, but we are not building legacy. You are not going to build legacy flipping hamburgers every single day. Like, that's not something that you want to pass down to your children, right? So when we think about building a legacy, I think about, okay, so what is something that I could potentially pass down to my kid? So with KB, for instance, he was a baller. What did he do? He ended up passing that down to Gianna. She was a baller. I read a story or something. He was talking to somebody, and I guess, like, they had went somewhere. And, you know, he has four girls. And so they were all sitting together, and somebody had asked them, so are you and Vanessa going to try for a boy so that you can pass down your legacy? And Gianna was like, there's no need for boys. I'm right here.
Did,
like,
she say that?
She did. Like, she was like, he doesn't need a boy for that. I'm right here.
Wow.
Why? Because he had created something behind passion, and it was something that through his passion, he was able to inundate into his children. So what are you creating that your children are going to want to do, or that your children are going to want? Like, they're going to want to be a part of it because they see how much passion and drive and heart that you put behind it.
Yeah.
So it's super important to, number one, identify that for yourself, your passions, your purpose, what you're really gung-ho about. And then decide, like, what do you want to do with it? You know what I mean? Is that writing books that's going to outlive you? Creating podcasts that's going to outlive you? Creating courses? Like, you need to have a plan of action in some form so that you're not just out here doing a whole lot of things that are not going to profit you anything.
Yeah.
And then, good. Like that's you good. Said, it's just being prepared to actually work at it. Like,
do you think people, like, skip over the work part? It seems like a no-brainer.
But I think,
like,
because we live in the microwave generation where it's, that's like, I want it today, and I'm, you know, I'm going to have it today. And
the millennial mindset. Got it.
Yeah. So we try to find all these quick, get-rich-quick schemes to get us what we need. And it's like, nah, like, Kobe Bryant didn't become a legend because he was practicing 2 times a week.
Was it you telling the story about the
he was in the gym? Yeah. Like, you know, there was a story that I was telling about that I read where, like, they were at an away game and he had called his trainer. It was an away. It was, I believe it was away. I'm not sure. But it was a game. Like, they were somewhere getting ready to play later that day. And he had called his trainer and asked his trainer to meet him at the gym at 4:30 in the morning. To help train him. When the trainer got there, Kobe was already completely drenched in sweat, which insinuates that he had already been there for some time before the trainer got there.
Yeah.
They practiced or whatever. The trainer leaves, goes, takes a shower, rest, comes back a couple hours later. Kobe is still there. The trainer asks him, what time did you leave? And he said, I never left. And then the rest of the team arrives, and Kobe practiced completely full out with the team as if he had just arrived. Meanwhile, by the time the team got there, Kobe Bryant had probably been in the gym 5 to 6 hours before everybody else. Not worried about sleeping, not worried about resting, but he found the thing that he loved and he committed his life to working for it. Whatever it took, he got it. And I don't think a lot of us are in that space to where we have decided, I want this and I'm going to do what it takes to get it. If that means I can't sleep tonight or not sleep in the morning, not saying that you don't need to sleep at all, because you do need to sleep. But what are you willing to do to get what you're trying to get? Like, legacy is built with work, with consistency, which a lot of us don't have, with extreme discipline and with passion for what you do. So that's kind of my point.
That's Can We Talk, folks. Make sure you submit your entries, your questions, and we will answer. It's time for the wrap up. So
Why do you have to introduce every segment like that? That is so lame. Oh my God.
It's time for the wrap up.
Anyway,
were you ever attracted to my rapping?
I love your rapping.
You do?
I do. I prayed for a singer, but a rapper will do.
You don't have to. Like, first of all, son, like, don't insult my craft like that.
No, I really do enjoy when you rap.
Okay.
I do. So, I enjoy the passion behind it. It's really nice to watch.
I like it.
So we just kind of want to wrap up this episode for you guys. Today we talked about the importance of creating and building a legacy. It is extremely, extremely important. If you guys don't take anything else away from this episode, that you take away the fact that when you die, you don't want to be forgotten. And the way that you're not forgotten is that you create something that's going to live past you. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes passion. It takes discipline, and it takes consistency. But it is extremely important that you are utilizing every gift that God has given you. I think all too often, God blesses us with extreme gifts, skills, abilities, and talents. And too often, do so many of those things go to the grave when we do? I've often heard this expression that the richest place in the world is the cemetery, because there are so many people there who never acted on what they were given. So my challenge to you guys today is that whatever it is that God has blessed you with, whatever gift, talent, ability, or skill that he has given you, that you literally and truly hone in on that thing and begin to create something that is going to live past your name.
Until next time, folks, make sure you stay tuned in. Keep it locked.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Classic R&B Podcast. To keep the conversation going, be sure to check us out on Facebook at The Classic R&B Life, on Instagram at Our Classic R&B Life, or you can check out our website at theclassicrnblife.com. We can't wait to hear from you.
Peace.